Dear Heavenly Father, we're ready to approach the Word of God. You laid some things on my heart to share with the people this morning. And I thank you, Father, for the honor and privilege to have your mind, so that when I speak to your people, I speak your mind to them, not my own will, nor my own beliefs, but what the Word of God has to say about everything. So, Father, may your people respect that and receive it, not from a man, but from the Spirit of the living God, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hebrews 12. Wednesday nights, I want to remind you, those of you that haven't been coming, try to make it. I know that we had a Wednesday night service out and back because of the carpeting. But I've been touching a little on how the mind functions and how it works. Been talking a little bit about how powerful the mind is. The mind is so powerful, it'll move heaven on your behalf if your mind is placed properly in the gospel. The Word of God anchors your soul, so that you can't be moved. So the mind plays a powerful, important part of our life. To know how the mind operates is to understand how your faith functions. That is so important. To understand the operation of the mind is to understand what it does to the heart of people. And never before are we faced with a world that is decaying constantly. And ever since it went out of God, the decay began. But God subject it in hope that in the end, He will still reap a harvest from a dying, falling world. Amen. So we are troubled. Many people are troubled with the way things are. The thing that I want to encourage you today as my message is be encouraged in a fallen world. Be brave in a fallen world. Don't run away, but face it with the full strength that God is in you, and you can succeed. Yes, we're living in a very troublesome, very dangerous time. We can't deny that. There is some teaching called Kingdom Now, to where the church, a portion of it, is not really interested in all the end time hype that it speaks about. Not really interested in whether the church is going to be taken up or caught away. Because we have a segment of the church that wants out of here. It's bottom line. But where I'm coming from is not from the basis of wanting out of here. It's from the basis that I'm fed up with the horror that this world is producing. I want it to end as quickly as possible. Now, those that don't have that kind of spirit about them, because they're unplugged from the horror that is in this world. And I'm ever mindful of it just by turning my own TV set on. And I don't know about you, but I have never in my life have grieved so much over things that I have discovered has happened to people. There's just something about praying that so connects you to God that the more you're connected to Him, the more your spirit grieves when you hear of tragedies. I have never in my life encountered more weeping in my heart, in my life, just hearing things that are horrible. How many of you know what that is, to grieve and to weep and to cry because you heard of somebody's tragedy and the injustice that they've encountered? Well, that's what prayer will do to you. It'll draw you to the presence of God, to where you begin to grieve as God grieves. And yet those that are not really connected close to the presence of God let a lot of things just slide by, including the gospel. We need to be on the cutting edge with our walk with the Lord. That's why we need to be on the cutting edge, especially as the times grow more evil. Who'd ever thought that you could go to the grocery store and there's a possibility you could get shot to death? Whoever thought that you could head up a prayer meeting in a church where the word is being taught to have some person come in and blow away the prayer leader, kill him dead? Don't tell me that we as believers don't have a position of responsibility. We do, and it's called prayer. But when you hear things like this, you wonder, is prayer working? You know, we don't know the whole story, but we know the adversary got in there somehow. Can I hear an amen? And so in Hebrews chapter 12, I want to remind us all of something very good in spite of all that we think is falling apart. You know, the Bible tells us what's going to happen in the end times. He tells us about what the people are going to do in our society. They're going to cry out for sin. And our leadership has given it to them. They're now turning to legislate morality. And there's where the church has to stand its ground. It has to stand its ground. It has to stand for the beliefs that our forefathers believed in when they established this nation. Years ago, my pastor, my first pastor I ever had, and to be honest with you, I love and respect that man because he stood in the office that he represented well. And I thank God I knew how to receive what he had to say. He said something I'll never forget. And it's in my conscience all the time. There's only one life. There's only one life to live. Only one life to live. But only what's done in Christ will last. You know, people talk about legacies and things like that. How many of you understand what a legacy is? It's what a person leaves when he either enters home or goes in the wrong direction. He leaves a legacy. Should we be concerned about leaving the legacy? I think so. Naked you come into this world, naked you go. That's talking about not having toys when you came in and not having toys when you leave. But even though you came into the world naked, you don't leave the world without leaving a legacy of what you are as a person. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And so it is important to God what kind of legacy we leave. If it wasn't so, then he would not have put into Scripture memorials that certain people on earth had been erected in heaven about them. One was Cornelius. He had a memorial set up in heaven in honor for how he cared and took care of people financially. That was a memorial in the heart of God. And when a person is more conscious of the presence of God, the more he'll be conscious about the legacy that he will leave his loved ones, his friends, his church. All of these things will be important in his life because he wants to be looked back and remembered as having a good witness and testimony because, people, your life will speak beyond the grave. It'll speak in the hearts and lives of people. There's no way we can get around it. There's absolutely no way we can get around it. It is there in the minds of people. Praise God. But in spite of how bad things really get, God has established something in the earth called the church. And in spite of denominationalism, the church is being built by the kingdom of God. We just don't see all the little aspects of it being built, but it is being built. But I want to declare to you that we serve a kingdom that cannot be shaken. We serve a kingdom that has enrolled us in heaven, and our destiny is a good destiny. It is a great destiny. Amen. It really is. It's a good and great destiny. And it's something that we should really respect and reverence in everything we say and do in our life. Just recently, when I heard about some things happening to certain people, my heart was so grieved by it that I knelt down and I made a new consecration to my Lord. That I'm going to cease doing things that I know would grieve Him. That's not something that I need to share with you. It's not sin. But it's just certain things in my life that I can do without in honor of Him that I cannot do without. Today at verse 18 of Hebrews 12, I want to read something that's very interesting. Again, the book of Hebrews was written by, I believe, the Apostle Paul. Many scholars believe it's his writing. And what he's trying to do is convince the converted Jew not to go back into Judaism because of the superiority of Jesus. And so every stroke of the brush is amplifying the superiority of Christ over Judaism. And he was encouraging to remain steadfast, because when you were a Jew and you were converted, your family cut you out. Your family buried you. They no longer recognized you as being a living being. So when you were a Jew and you converted to Christianity, it cost you everything. And not only did it cost you everything, family, friends. Paul even said, when I received Jesus, he says, I was separated from my mother's womb. Meaning that he also had lost family. He could no longer be associated with this homeborn physical family, separated from him. It cost you everything. And then towards the end of the book of Hebrews, Paul encouraging them to remain steadfast in their faith. He said, I know what it's like, but he said, whatever you do, gather the more together of those of you who are suffering the same thing from family and friends and everything. Gather more together and encourage one another. Influence one another to continue in the faith. He says, because now you're enduring not only the hardships of what you've encountered from receiving Jesus. He said, even those who have converted to Christianity and has gone back into Judaism are now also oppressing you and coming against you. I'm paraphrasing this. And he says, so not only do I remind you to stay steadfast, I also know that even those that were also converted and went back to Judaism, now they're pressuring you to do the same thing. Don't do that. Gather together and encourage one another. People, I'm telling you, the true church of the Lord Jesus Christ today needs each other more than it has ever needed each other. We need each other. We need each other's presence. We need each other's voice. We need each other's work. We need each other, because the Bible clearly says that it provides protection, it provides stability, it brings revelation and insight. It is the better for you than the influence beyond the walls of the church. For you have not come to a mountain that may be touched, and that burned with fire. And so blackness and darkness, dark gloom and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, so that those who heard it begged that the word should not be spoken to them anymore. For they could not endure what was commanded. And so much as a beast touched the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with an arrow. And so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I am exceedingly afraid and trembling. But you have come. But you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly, the church of the firstborn, who are registered in heaven. In the Greek it says enrolled in heaven. To God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men, having been made perfect. To Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. See that you do not refuse him who speaks. For if they did not escape, he refused him who spoke from earth. Much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. Now this yet once more indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken as of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken, oh glory to God, may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptable and reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. Now, we've read a lot here. From verse 18 to verse 21, we have a witness or a testimony that the literal Jewish nation had in their day. And that was the Exodus out of Egypt by Moses. And he said that that time period was a time period that didn't have really much hope for an individual who was willing to live contrary to God. Now, I want you to notice some words, because our translators never really captured the true heart of the people during the time of Moses. First of all, there was a sound of a trumpet. You'll find this in Numbers chapter 10, verses 1, 2, and 3. And this is where they had a calling of the assemblies for direction. But this direction was a little different. Because I want you to notice some of the words. And the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words. This is a word, rhema. So that those who heard it begged that the word, logos, should not be added to them anymore. Now, our translators had put some little words here a little differently. But when you read it out of the Greek, it's putting more responsibility on the person, not God. And when they sound this trumpet and they gathered together, then the first thing that was reminded them is that God had a rhema to give them. And it was the logos of God, what God spoke. They didn't have Bibles then. They had assemblies. And so it was important that you assemble together to hear from God. But the words that they were receiving, they didn't want them added to them anymore. For, notice this, verse 20. For they could not endure what was commanded. That is a wrong translation. It says, for they bore not the thing being charged. It literally means they didn't want another commandment added to them to forbid them or to inhibit them of their own lifestyle. God was introducing a whole new way for that nation to live. Now that He got them out of Egypt. And He was setting rules and regulations and commandments. Do you know that we today, we are the dispensation of grace? But did you know that even in spite of the dispensation of grace, you will find the word commandment many times in the New Testament. And the word commandment literally means you have no choice. You are obligated to do it this way, period. You see, we don't like to hear that because we like to find a position of grace and mercy. And if the word indicts us, we don't want to add it to us anymore, to add more commandments to us or regulations. We just cut it out of the word. Just remove it or give it a different interpretation. You know, I talked to a man who has never been in church his entire life. Never had been into a church. How I met him was in the grocery store. I was doing some shopping for Sue. Now, I want you to get a hold of this. I heard them talking about Referendum 74. And you know what this one guy said to the other one? He said, well, evidently Christians are in agreement with it. Haven't you seen the advertisements on TV? They got the callers and stuff. And the guy said, yeah, I noticed that. He said, well, if the churches are in agreement with it, maybe we ought to take another look at it. You know what I call those pamphlets, those voter pamphlets? A skilled way of voting fraud. By the way they word things. When I saw that advertisement on TV, and then they went from the priests to heterosexual relationships with kids and associating the norm with the abnorm, saying, we accept them as well. This is the mind of the devil. How can a church that is supposed to love you not love you the same way the world loves its own? Ditto. You know what? The Bible is very clear. I was accused of being narrow-minded from a believer. I said, you got that right. Amen. What a testimony. I'm narrow-minded. They looked at me. I said, because broad is a way to destruction. I said, God's Word creates a geographical boundary in my brain. That's why I have to know how it functions. It thinks, operates. Because I'm going to tell you what. Whether you like it or not, you have a central mind that has been put into your soul that has been given a knowledge that speaks against the knowledge of God. And if you don't know how to make the distinction between that which is spiritual versus that which is natural, you'll run the two voices together like, wow. I've gotten so many great victories in my own life because of the simple fact that I learned that my body has no authority over me. And there are Christians who do not have that revelation. I thank God that I have taught you in detail about the physical body because God's Word declares it dead. Therefore, you are not to be under the authority of it any longer. But the only way you can do that is to get a hold of this mind. And the only way you can get a hold of it is through the Word of God. You have to know what the Word of God is saying. Now notice it said, for they bore not. They didn't want to carry the things that were being charged to them. And if so much as a beast touched the mountain, in other words, not only that, but the mountain itself designated as separation between God and them. See, we just think of how terrible it was. It was terrible. Even animals couldn't get on the mountain and touch it because the presence of God was in it. And if the presence of God is there, flesh cannot inherit the kingdom of God. It would die. Not only did the people not want the word, did you know that same spirit is operating today? You get a believer who is committed to God and you get him under the word, he gets excited about it and he'll take the word and apply it alongside himself. But you get a believer who is not really concerned about the kingdom of God or the word of God, you get them under the presence of God and under the word of God, they're gone! Because they don't want to really have Jesus as their Lord. They only want him as their Savior, but not Lord. What a horrible place to be in. And it's all because people don't understand how important it is for to hear the Word of God and then do it. Most of us hear the Word of God and commit options. Hey, that's true. Now, notice what he goes on to say. So terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I am exceedingly afraid and trembling. But notice this. But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels. Guess what? This is not an earthly Jerusalem. In case you guys don't figure that one out yet. And notice this, to the general assembly. I like the Greek here. It says festal gathering. Festal gathering. In other words, when you gather as the assembly of God, it should be a festivity in our life. Well, I can remember being saved several years, and I kept getting up. And one morning I got up, so excited. And I got up and I said, oh no, it's Sunday. There was a shift in my thinking and I didn't catch it. Shift here a little. Shift there a little. Shift here a little. Shift here a little. Think a little differently. Think it and twist them and fit them together. Yeah, that'll work. And you can stay home. Because after all, you deserve a Sabbath. Boy, our flesh is so sweet, isn't it? You poor thing. You. Give me a break today. We going to McDonald's? I like this. To the General Assembly and Church of the Firstborn who are enrolled in heaven. Who are registered in heaven to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits. And if your translation don't have a little S there, it should be, because it's referring to the human spirit that has been born again and making the general assembly perfect. Because the word here in the Greek says, to the judge of all and to the spirits of just men having been made perfect. Woo! When I got born again, I was made perfect. I was made the righteousness of God in Christ. What, my outer man? No. He's graveyard material. My inner man. Because sin dwells in him. So he had to be put someplace for sin to dwell in it. What's called 6 foot of dirt. Now watch this. This gets better. And to Jesus, notice this, the mediator. Why did he put Jesus the mediator? Because the mediator for the Jews and God was Moses. 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 And notice that to a new covenant, to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. You know, I said, why did he put and then that of Abel? Because God approached Cain and Abel. And God told them both what to do. To cover them until they could be with him. And at that time, it would be Abraham's bosom. It wasn't named Abraham's bosom at that time until Abraham came and became the father of the Jewish nation. And so they call it paradise, or a lower region in the center of the earth that would house spiritual beings that were not yet born again, but had received the witness of God while they were in the earth. And so Abel and Cain, being brothers, walked together and functioned together on this earth. And God told them both how to approach them. And the mind of flesh had already taken its place. It said, I know a better offering than even what God commanded me to do. I will bring him the labor of my hands. I will bring him the fruit that I produced in the earth. And so he did that. And Abel said, I'm going to obey God and just give him what he asked. He didn't understand it, but he did it. And you know what God did before even ever was anything ever given? God went to Cain and said, there's an evil working in your heart. Change it. Cain was so full of pride that he went into a rage. And God said, I'm going to warn you. You will rise up against your brother. Don't do what's going on in you. And you know what? Cain got so furiously mad and angered at God because God had come against the operation of death already at work within them. So enraged, he says, you want a sacrifice, God? Okay, I'll give you the sacrifice you want. I'm not going to give you a sacrifice of an animal. I'm going to give you the sacrifice of my brother. And over in 1 John chapter 5, or chapter 4, I think it is, one of those chapters, it said, he slew him, and therefore slew ye him. In the Greek, that meant sacrificial knife. So Cain sacrificed his brother on the altar, shed his blood. And God put a mark on his head. Said, now you're cursed wherever you go. He said, if any man puts a hand to you, they won't make it because you're mine. And he cursed his ground. The thing was that when I followed the history of Cain, do you know he built cities? He became very wealthy. I couldn't figure out how, then, if his ground is cursed, why has he got cities? Why is he flourishing so? Well, according to what we know, is Cain committed suicide. The ground that was cursed was his conscience. Not what he produced physically, but his conscience. It had no more connection with God. God cursed his conscience and said, if that's the way you want to go, so be it. But you know, I thought it was interesting how he approached Cain. He said, Cain, your brother's blood speaks to me out of the ground. Now, somebody had put a book called The Blood Speaks and went into this fantasy story. It's just crazy. But really what he was saying is, even though Abel has lost his physical life, he's still in communion with me in spiritual life. He was put into paradise, that upper region of hell. He was placed there until the redemption of the one that was to come to be the ultimate sacrifice. And that's why Abel could still communicate with God. But Cain no longer had access to God. Right there is the beginning of the demise of man. Now, what we're talking about here is that you and I belong to a kingdom that is unshakable. See that you do not, look at verse 25, because I want you to get a hold of this. Because when I got a hold of it, It struck a chord in me so strongly. See that you do not refuse him who speaks. For if they did not escape, he refused him who spoke on earth. Much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven. And this is in Greek here is called present active. It means when he speaks to you, present active, right now. When he speaks to you, you need to listen to him and not be a Cain. Now we play mind games with ourselves. We think we can get away with things. But let me tell you something. God holds us responsible for what we know. Because the authority has been given to the church. And God can't do anything unless you exercise your authority in him to get it done. And that is going to be the great mystery that all of us are going to find out about people who have gone home before their time. The secret things belong to God. But you know what? I think a lot of it's going to be just down to the fact that the reason you're here before your time is you flat did not exercise your authority of what was given to you. It's going to be the bottom line. You know, I don't know about you guys, but I pay attention when the Word of God is spoken. Whether I agree with them or not, I pay attention to what they're saying and whether I agree with them or not. I don't know about you guys, but when I heard that testimony, well, I actually read it in one of those mini books where Jesus visited Kenneth Hagin. And I've shared this with you guys, but I can tell a lot of you have never really bonded to it. But I had to bond to that testimony. And it was outside the Bible, and yet I had to bond to it in order to go back to the Word of God to validate it. And I went back to the Word of God and it validated it. What was it about that testimony? It was so awestrucking to me. These demons came down between Jesus carrying on a conversation as though the demons are not there. And Kenneth Hagin was on the other side, and he was sitting there trying to hear Jesus. And he said, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke you, and those demons left. And he said, no, Lord. He said, why didn't you do something about that? And Jesus said, I couldn't. No, Lord. That is so contrary to everything I believe in the Bible. Now, how can that be? And Jesus said, I did not say I wouldn't. I said I couldn't. You what? I couldn't. You know that when I heard that testimony, you know what I did? I put that alongside myself. Well, I sure hope they got that word. I didn't pull that garbage. I took that statement. Now, Lord, you're going to have to show me in Scripture where there's this transfer of authority. And you know what? I didn't get it for a while, but I still put that thing on hold. And I knew Kenneth Hagin wasn't telling a lie. So that locked me up. So it put me on the shelf. I had to put that on the shelf. Because my mind was not at the place to take the responsibility of what I was in God. Do you know a lot of you are still not ready for what God has placed in your life for you because you have not acclimated yourself to go there. But you have that available to you. But you have to be humble to receive it. You know what? Trouble sometimes when it comes in this natural world, it won't bother you, it won't shake you if you're not connected to it. Somebody says, what are we going to do now? I don't know. My kingdom has not changed. Oh, man, it's falling to pieces. No, glory to God. Who are we going to get saved? I liked Caiaphas' testimony. That Jesus, he doesn't seem to really care who's ruling us. Whether it's a Roman rule or Judaic law. He just doesn't care. All he's doing is promoting his kingdom. Voila. That's what we should be busy about doing. Because this world is too unpredictable. There's too many vain thinking strapping around. My gosh. I'm not concerned about those who speak against gun rights. I'm concerned about those who have gun rights. Because they're giving all the information to those who want to remove gun rights. They're coming up with the ideas and going, oh, they came up with a good idea. Let's enact the law into that. Because of fear. I like guns. I'll shoot them till I go home to be with the Lord or get raptured out of here. Because I know where to aim them. So I don't have a problem. But if I was to lose my gun rights, so what? What am I going to do about it? Become another brrrt with the government? No, I just have to give them up. You know why I can give them up? Because even though I'm attached to them, God can detach me. There ain't nothing I got a hold on this world that I should be so concerned about whether I'm sliding down a wall or not. If I'm of the kingdom of God, I will land in a good place with the kingdom of God. My kingdom is not shakable. Do you know who got into office? Yeah, my dictator. You're a dictator. Yeah, God. Don't tell me he's of a democracy. Because I'd wonder who elected him. Nobody elected God. He was there before time. There was guys trying to figure him out when they were talking to Job. And God came down, got rid of his comforters, which were not comforters, and said, Job, so tell me, where were you when I created the first snowflake? First snowflake? A snowflake, that would be the furthest from my mind, especially if I lived in the desert. So he asked me, where was I when that first snowflake was made? You know, God's mind is so beyond us. It will not hurt us to just concentrate on what he left us to read. Have you ever thought about that? Great idea. Because anything beyond that, I can't figure it out. Especially how a snowflake was created. God must have some mighty fast scissors. You ever cut a snowflake? When I was first shown how to cut a snowflake, I looked at that thing, and I looked at the person that was teaching me, and I said, you're a snowflake. I couldn't figure out all these cutting. And then when she got through cutting, she spread it out and said, look. And I went, oh, my gosh. It looked like she was just cutting up a wad of paper. She unfolded it. God must be a pretty genius God. Either that or he has machines up there that's unreal. Now, I got news for you. The people that serve us is called an innumerable company of angels. It means a company that cannot be numbered. I'd say we're in pretty good shape. I like this. See then that you do not refuse him who speaks. For if they did not escape, he refused him who spoke on earth. Much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven. Watch this. Whose voice then shook the earth. But now he has promised, saying, once more, I shake not only the earth, but also the heaven. You see, when I caught that, I went, oh my gosh. And you know what? God has given us a gift, people. It's called a mouth. Anybody here got a mouth? Feel it. And God has designed his words in such a way that it can come out of our mouth as a sword. And to do what? To do warfare. And I got news for you. If you are Rhema, a logos, you're going to win the battle. Because God's designed your faith to be released by what comes out of your mouth. And I'm going to tell you, it is not only just as important of what you think as what you say, because they're both connected together. Have you ever talked to somebody that was negative and they just throw all this negativity at you? And you sit there and you go, my gosh, I don't need to learn this. Just plug your ears, Howard. Holy Ghost. Angel, come here and put your fingers in my ears till they get through talking. I had this happen to me. You know what? What do you think about what I just told you? Don't you have anything to say? Well, you know what? You're so untouchable. Are you so perfect that you can't say something? And you know that if you say anything, because you can't come from the same direction they're talking about. You can make a lot of enemies that way. I learned to just, holy, angels, plug my earballs. Because a lot of what you hear is what you see. That's why I called it earballs. Plug my ears. I don't need to hear this. Because a lot of it's just faith in reverse. It's just empty, vain thinking that you don't even know exists, even though that's said. And so if I don't have no proof of it, why even entertain it? Because it opens the door to vain imaginations. Are you guys getting something here today? You see, we're of a kingdom that is sure. We can walk worthy of the Lord in a kingdom that cannot be moved. We have been poimained, beautifully created in God, and put together perfectly for His sake. We are to give glory to God. And so this person who was negativity, negator, sat there and continued and said, you know, you're just unplugged. You just can't relate. You can't connect. And inside I'm going, yes, amen, glory to God. Okay, I can't. You just go stick your head in the ground like an ostrich. I got to thinking I'd probably get better company out of worms. People, you and I don't have a thing to fear from a kingdom that's corruptible. We don't, people don't even give yourself a lack of sleep for what's going on. Because it's going perfectly as the world designs it. And if it gets so bad, we ain't going to hang around. So if that's going to be the case, be bold. God, let me boldly speak your word. Let me boldly declare your kingdom. Because I have a kingdom they need. And I have representatives that have not been voted in. They got it together. So somebody once said to me, well, you got to let them know what's going on. People, I can scream my lungs out what's going on. And it won't do any good. The only thing that will do any good for me is to build a kingdom in my heart, in my life, and speak that. Because if His voice speaks from heaven to me, then I can be at peace. How many of you remember the Y2K thing? I even had people in this body. Are you still here? I had people in this body. We bought this piece of property. Where? Arizona? Why? You know, the computer collapse. And so we're now building a source of put food together, occupy any. And I ask him, I says, why don't you ask me about that? Oh, well, yeah, what's your opinion? Nothing going to happen. You know, they couldn't receive that. You want to know why? They already spent too much money. and to sit there and undo all the stupidity of it. I walked into Dietman's and they had what you call survival kits. How many seen them? A stove and everything. And I went, I should buy one of them for my hunting trips. They're better equipped for our hunting trip than what I'm seeing here. They're good. And I just shook my head and said, why should believers be like that? How I found out nothing would happen. You want to know how I found out nothing would happen? His voice spoke from heaven saying, peace be still. I said, well, Lord, what's going to happen? He said, nothing. He says, man feared their own contraptions. He said, don't worry about it. I said, okay. And so I went and told y'all. And guess what? Nothing happened. Never get the big print. And everybody goes. I just went. Well, it seems to be that nothing's really happened. Shoot, I knew that a year before it even happened. Because he speaks from heaven. I'm going to tell you what. You give me a guy that's thoroughly indoctrinated in the understanding of this world, and I will not take his word over somebody that prays a lot. You give somebody that prays a lot and knows the mind of God, I'll listen to him before I listen to any indoctrinated idiot in this planet. They don't have the mind of Christ. Hallelujah. And so, today we are to what? Hear his voice when he speaks while we're here on earth. Because when he speaks here on earth, it not only has something to do with here, but it has something to do with there. That's why Matthew 16 has the prayer of binding and loosening. What is that referring to? It's referring to what he's saying here. Jesus now in our hearts has given us the authority in this earth to do what we need to do to get the gospel spread throughout the kingdoms of this world. And the world is going the way it's supposed to go. You don't need a revelation of that. It is going where it's going to go. And the leaders are going to get worse. They're going to get so bad that everything will begin to collapse. But it's the time the church wakes up and we pray that prayer of boldness and get out there and start evangelizing as much as possible and forget about revival. Revival should be in us, period, to go evangelize with. Amen. In Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to close on this one because I don't want to get too long here. In Ephesians chapter 4, this book came so alive to me here. We went through the whole book on our Wednesday night Bible share. And Aaron, my son-in-law, was saying how he really loved that book. And he said he never saw it the way I had taught it. But it was a revelation of the church that's established in the earth. Did you guys know that? It is the revelation of the purpose of God putting the body of Christ in the earth. And guess what? This will not change for eternity. Did you guys know that? That when we get to heaven, this operation of the church is going to still be intact. I got scripture that says it. Starting verse 14 down to verse 21, Paul talks about bowing his knee unto the family of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he ends these verses from verse 14 to 21. To him be glory, notice this, in the church by Jesus Christ. In the church by Jesus Christ. Ages, throughout all ages, without end. So when we look into the book of Ephesians, we're seeing the authority and structure that will be eternally set. Boy, we are blessed. Because when you read this book and bond to it and connect to it, you'll know why the church had to be formed. Not only for here, but for there as well. It's an eternal thing. Now, are you ready? The whole purpose of establishing a church, Paul tells us clearly. One of the ways is while we're here. And he says, here we have the fivefold ministry to bring the church to maturity so we can do the work of the ministry. But notice what he says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. This is referring to the church. But notice what he says, endeavoring to keep the unity, that which unites into one, which unites into one. We always hear this word, unity. He can't come until the church is in unity. When he established a church and gave the revelation to Paul, and Paul gave it to the church, the reason he gave it to the church is so we can be unified now, not when we go to heaven. So we can be without spot or wrinkle now, without reproach, to a world that needs us. And so the word unity is a very interesting Greek word. He notices. But the word unity in the Greek is he notices, which literally means one. And the same. The church was designed so we be one in the same as Him. I hate denominationalism. I hate it with a passion because it was all of it was birthed out of disunity, a tearing away by beliefs. If I had a denominational name on my building, then I am speaking against Ephesians, the entire book. Because God didn't come to develop denominations. He came to develop the body of Christ in the earth called church. Now, does that mean people that are in a denomination are not saved? Absolutely not. The leadership is responsible for the denom, not the people. And people, I'm going to tell you, before Christ comes for the church, I'm going to give you a little secret that I found in Scripture. I believe there is going to be a supernatural way that God is going to erase denominational names by bringing us together so that we'll never be divided again. God didn't give our church light so we judge others with. He gave us light to lead others. And somehow people get a hold of a little light and they want to judge everybody on creation that don't fit their little fancy. God's love does not do that. God's love brings light so that all can come out of darkness, period, over and out. Not a control thing. Somebody said, why don't you ever teach leadership skills in your church? I said, well, I have people that know how to follow leadership. Well, I say, you're part of my congregation. Do you know how to follow leadership? Well, yeah, then why should I preach about it? I said, the only reason I'd preach a whole bunch of leadership to my people is got to be a lot of goats. I don't have a lot of goats in this body. Every once in a while, a goat crops up, but the body always gets rid of the goats. We don't really have a problem. And that's a good testimony to you guys. I'll never forget one pastor, he said the most negative, stupid thing. I said, whatever you do, don't tell my janitor that. What do you mean? I said, he's got more brains than you got right now. Of course, he took it as a joke, but I meant it. I just didn't want to tell him I meant it. Stand up, everybody. I hope I preach peace to you today. Did I preach peace to you all today? Are you going to be at peace? Hey, you know what? God hasn't put himself up for the end of his term. He's still there. I tell you what this is going to do. This is going to cause us as believers to draw more to intercession and supplication for non-believers and believers. He's going to make prayer closet really active up there. Amen. Because we have some good things ahead for all of us. You know, we have some good things ahead for all of us. All we have to do is take our place of authority, and we have some good things ahead for all. Wow. Well, Heavenly Father, I thank you. The change is coming for the ones that I pointed to, for the good, Father. Father, may they find it. May whatever it is that you spark in them to for them to see it. Father, may they bear witness to what I shared today for them. Whether it's today, tomorrow, or whenever. Father, may they grasp it and understand it. With every head bowed, if you're here this morning, you've never given your heart and life to Jesus, but you would love to give your heart and life to Jesus, feel free to step out and come forward right now. Anybody? Don't hesitate. It doesn't matter. Don't hesitate. We're not going to do anything to embarrass you or make you feel bad or anything. If you've never been baptized in the Holy Ghost and you would like that, we want to lay hands on you. Hallelujah. 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 If you want healing in your body, we want to pray for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you want to recommit your life to Him and start on the path of the perfect will of God, we want to pray with you. So while I'm saying that right now, if that fits you, please step out and come forward, anybody. Don't hesitate. Don't hesitate. Don't hesitate. Don't hesitate. I feel this is a very critical moment, a very critical time for somebody here. Salvation, restoration, the infilling of the Holy Ghost, prayer for your physical body, whatever it is, feel free to step. Recommitment to the Lord. Come up, anybody. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.